This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are golf opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf for more information. I'm Rob Hernandez. That's Gary D'Amato. After a week off, well, sort of a week off, we're back with Talking.Golf. Gary, we were talking before we came on the air. It was a week off, but at this time a week ago, we were both dealing with adverse conditions on the golf course. Me covering the state high school girls tournament at Black Wolf Run in Kohler, and you playing in the elements at Lasonia on the famous Lynx course over there in Green Lake. It was, maybe the precursor to the more wicked weather we got, or the winter weather we got at the end of the week. I mean, it was Wisconsin in a snapshot weather-wise last week.
It was, Rob. And first of all, before we talk about the weather, I just got to say, I hope our readers and listeners out there, I hope they appreciate the work you do. I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say I don't think anybody covers high school golf in the nation better than you do for the Wisconsin scene. I appreciate it, and I hope a lot of people around the state appreciate what you do for high school golf. You did a great job.
Well, thanks, Gary, and Mother Nature did help. I have to say, I have had to tell this story many times because on a week ago today, there was about a three-hour delay in the middle of the day. And so Jim Kelsch and the others in the media room and I were just kind of hanging out. And I was, you know, waiting for that, you know, the world's going to unleash the fear of Mother Nature picture. And so I opened one of the windows in the clubhouse and kind of put the cell phone on the 18th hole and threw her on the video mode. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came this loud rumble of thunder. And then one of the most impressive lightning strikes cloud to ground that I've ever seen. It was right over the, there's that competition tent hole that they don't use except for major events. And the one that goes uphill from the clubhouse to the green that they do use for the tent hole. And it was somewhere in the forest between the temporary hole and the actual hole that they're using for the tournament. And I thought we were going to see some trees tumble. And so That made me look good. I got to tell you what, I got to give Mother Nature a pat on the back that she knew right when to throw that baby in on there. And we got that on the Twitter, and I haven't looked to see how many thousand views it's had lately, but boy, that one had people talking, especially those who thought, well, they pulled them off early, but you know what, when you've got weather like that rolling in, especially on the shores of Lake Michigan, you can never get off a course like that too early, can you?
No, absolutely not. And I was stupid enough to play at Lasonia Lynx, a great golf course, but the weather was miserable, but it was a really nice event. It's called the Langford Shield. It's a two-man deal, and it goes out to people who have sort of supported Lasonia and Oliphant Golf, which manages Lasonia and many other courses around the state. It's a fun event. I played in it for a number of years with a buddy, and Rob, we just, we sucked. We were bad, but the weather was horrible too, but it has a different kind of format, but they just abandoned the format and said, we're just going to do a two-man scramble because the weather's so bad. We shot an 84 in a two-man scramble, which is really hard to do. That's really hard to do.
Wow.
I mean, we hit so many bad shots, but it was fun, and I really appreciate Lasonia extending that invitation every year to us. But, man alive, it was tough to play. I felt sorry for those girls who had to play through some of that on Monday.
Well, what was your wind like? Because the thing that bothered the girls' tournament both days, and I think I calculated it, I'd say about the winning score was about 15 shots higher in Division One, in Division Two, and about 9-10 shots higher in Division One. I think that's pretty much on average every score. Then after that, kind of was ballooned by that. But it was mostly the wind on a tough course, and then of course, you know, you get wind on a good course with good greens. What do those greens do in the wind? They get faster. That doesn't help at all, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I think most golfers can handle a little rain and most golfers can handle a little wind. But when you get a lot of rain and a lot of wind at once, that's the toughest conditions to play in. And I know that that some of the girls had to play through some of that kind of weather. And plus, let's face it, the golf course is pretty tough, too. So we add the elements to it and it makes for a long day.
Well, and at one point on Tuesday, I thought, boy, this really, you know, what would have happened had we been at University Ridge? And then I took a look at the leaderboard and, Gary, I think no matter what happens with tournament conditions, the mark of a good tournament is whether the cream rises to the top. And we had a freshman out of nowhere, Kylie Walker, who's had a solid season, but she's not kind of the top one, two or three freshmen in the state. She led after a 37 in the rain shortened first round, but then all of a sudden you had Jessica Geiser, Elise Hoven for a while, Sarah Balding was creeping up there. And then Nora Roberts, who's had a pretty good season out of Union Grove. She got up towards the top there and it was, you know, the teams that were supposed to be up there battling were, the individuals were, you know, at the end of the day, you sometimes got a great tournaments on a curve and this is one of them. And I tell you what, there wasn't one kid, Gary, who complained about Black Wolf Run being too tough because for two reasons. One, they got to play a world-class golf course with, and they were treated royally by the folks at Golf Kohler. And then also, you know, 3 months ago, we weren't sure we were going to have a state tournament, and we did. 75% of the schools that sponsor girls golf played this fall. We still don't know what the postseason will look like for the 25% that will play starting in late March, but I think they're grateful to get it done. And it also gave me a chance, Gary, to check out the baths at Black Wolf Run. Ah. To me, it looks like 500 yards or more of bent grass greens or of just perfectly maintained greens. And I've got a picture somewhere in my arsenal of photos from last week of all the little flags, you know, flying straight out. So it's going to be the toughest par three course in the world, Gary, if the wind blows like that. I'm just going to say that right now.
Did you take a dip in one of the baths, Rob?
I did not. I'm not sure I got out close enough to the baths. I mean, the water, I tell you what, the water on that that it forms the surround for the what would it be, the 12, is it 12 hole course, 14 hole course? I mean, it's or 10 hole course. I think it's the 10 hole course.
I think it's 10, yeah.
And I think it's that, so that 10th hole, which comes back to the basically the, you know, the putting course, and because there's other holes cut into that green. That water was rippling pretty good. So if you're taking a bath out there in October, you better, it's going to be like the polar plunge. You might want to do it for charity.
I guarantee you, Mr. Kohler would not hesitate jumping in there. I've heard stories of him taking a dip in the fifth hole at Whistling Straits in the pond there in the middle of winter. So,
wow.
He'd jump out there. I don't know if I'd follow his lead though.
I don't, but I, you know, it's really neat. I can't wait to see what they're going to do around that area. They've got a little bit of room to maybe expand, and create maybe a more than a halfway house. The halfway house that they have there is good. It would be fun to kind of make that kind of an epicenter of stuff across the river. A lot of fishermen in the river too, Gary, and that was fun to see. You forget. I haven't been to Black Wolf Run in a long, long time. And, you go back to some of the, you walk across the river and there's the echoes of Jenny Shishiriporn making that putt to force the playoff with Savory Pack at the Women's Open. And all those times that we covered the Anderson Consulting World Championships of Golf when Greg Norman was so big and they were trying to, showcase the course for bigger and better things. It's got quite a history. It seems like just yesterday for old guys like you and me, doesn't it?
It really does, but when you think about it, 32 years ago, I think, the original Black Wolf Run course opened. That's a long time now, and you're right. There's some tournament history now, and of course, the other course has popped up, and Whistling Straits has a fantastic tournament history already, but yeah. And just to be clear on the best of Black Wolf Run, so our listeners know where it is. It's just to the left of the first hole on the Meadow Valleys, right? And they built a big berm sort of to separate it.
That is correct. It is a berm and then just to the right of the 11th hole. And so when you cross from, basically number 10 green to number 11 tee, you're going to the, I guess that would be kind of the south of it. And then once you go out on 11, you get a great taste of, of you know what you're going to see going all the way back until it dog legs, and I think the same sensation to a degree on number one, although one starts to dog leg a little bit to the right away from it. But yeah, it's right in the middle there, and it's going to bring some attention to to everything that goes on there at Black Wolf Run. And boy, the food was great. The clubhouse conditions. I mean, there were people that figured it out that you could order food in the clubhouse, and virtually nobody did. And you could sit there and look out over the over the river. And there's not a better location to dine after a round, I think, than Black Wolf Run. It just got such a peaceful tranquility to it, and it was a lot of fun. And tell you what, for a plan B for the state high school girls tournament for 1 year, it wasn't too bad. And who knows? I don't think the girls tournament would go back there just because of the volatility of the weather at this time of the year. But I know that the wheels are turning with the boys tournament, and trying to make sure that they have enough room for all the divisions, and that they have a field size that's big enough. But right now, everything's real good at University Ridge, and it was a credit to Kohler Company to step up and help out the WIA with that. That was the beginning of the week. End of the week, Gary, we're running pictures from Dennis McCann of snow on the greens in Bayfield. I mean, what's going on back there in Wisconsin? I'm sweating out here in 100-degree weather, and you guys are shutting down the year.
I just drove home from an appointment, Rob, and snowflakes were hitting the windshield, and it was depressing, actually. But, you expect that this time of year. It's getting second half of October. You start seeing snowflakes here and there. Yeah, and up north, they had snow on the ground already. I don't know how many more rounds Dennis is going to get in. I still hope to get in a few more rounds, Rob. I think we're still going to have some. I guess on Thursday, it's supposed to be in the 60s again or near there. Okay. So there's we'll have time to play some more golf.
So you're telling me there's a chance that you're gonna get out and get out soon. I like that. I like that forecast. Last thing on the topic of weather, Gary, we were going to talk about extreme conditions. This is probably the most extreme, consistent conditions that I've covered, especially a high school tournament in, simply because the wind was 25 miles an hour from the time they got to the golf course till the time they checked out. Well, it kind of died down as they had that playoff for the Division One medalists between Jessica Geiser, who's going to be just a star in the making from Heartland Arrowhead, and yeah. Elise Hoven. But and I think it was 2000. What did we decide? 14 when they were squeegeeing the greens, or 16 over at U Ridge. During the middle of the round and on one of the days, and then I think it was the final round. It started out in a downpour, and then when the rain went away, it turned to winter. And typically, the state high school girls tournament just happens to be situated on a week where we see that transition, as we've been talking about here. But it's very seldom do we see that transition take place during the middle of a round. So that was the most, extreme high school tournament I've covered. You've had a couple, though, in the last couple of years between the Club Pro, the Senior Open at Nakoma this year, and then the U.S. Open qualifying up at Wild Rock last year. You've seen some pretty good conditions here, especially recently.
Rob, I still think of that U.S. Open qualifier at Wild Rock. That was the most miserable conditions I've ever seen for golf. And Austin Kanzorski shot a 70 that day. I mean, that was the equivalent of a 60. Really, it was. I mean,
yeah.
To break par when the wind is howling at 35 miles an hour and it's raining sideways, and it's a pelting rain. It's not a drizzle. It hurts.
Right.
It stings when you get hit by that rain. And to shoot a 70 in that stuff, just amazing. And then, the State Senior Open a few weeks back, similar conditions. We've had our share of some rough weather. I'm glad I didn't have to play in it. It was hard enough just walking and watching.
That's for sure. I hope that we don't have to cover many more tournaments in conditions like we faced. But, it's part of the drill living in Wisconsin, especially the further north you get. You just never know what you're going to get in competition. Talking.Golf, sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program. It's led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. And you can check out more on their website at swtc.edu/golf for more information. Gary, you've got another book out. And this one kind of summarizes it all. It is a perfect childhood, growing up in the 60s with baseball, the Beatles, and Beaver Cleaver. It can't get any better than that. It sounds like you grew up in the Happy Days family. Am I correct?
Pretty close to it. Yeah, pretty close to it, Rob. Same time frame and similar family, I guess. Similar friends for sure. Yeah, I had my Potsy and my Fonzie for sure. It's just a little book, Rob. It's a 2-hour read, and thanks for mentioning it. You can go to our website, wisconsin.gov, and I think there's an ad you can click on, and it takes you to amazon.com. But I just had my father passed away in June, and I had been working on this book for off and on for a couple of years, and I just decided to finish it. It's a 24,000 word book. It's a pretty breezy read, and just stories about growing up in the 60s, what it was like. And I think maybe baby boomers will be able to relate, and hopefully it sparks memories of their own, you know, childhoods and the things we, crazy things we did growing up.
Well, and you were a Southsider, weren't you, St. Francis, if I'm not mistaken?
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of references to St. Francis in the book. And of course, you know, all my friends, we went to St. Francis High School. But the book kind of ends around 1970. It's mostly takes place when I was in grade school and all the friends I had and the crazy stuff we did. I mean, Rob, those were the days when you could you'd walk out of the house at 8 a.m. and come home for dinner, and your parents never worried about where you were or what you were doing. You know, you were with your buddies playing baseball or football or goofing around in a swamp or any things that I don't know if many kids do those things today, but especially unsupervised. And a lot of that stuff has to be supervised now, unfortunately. But it was a different time, and I enjoyed my childhood, and I enjoyed writing about it.
And for those who don't know, St. Francis, the first suburb south of Milwaukee, and kind of in the Bayview area. So back then, Gary, a much different metropolitan Milwaukee. Is that what you're saying? And you've seen your hometown, your home region, you know, evolve over the years. It probably doesn't look a whole lot like it did in the time frame you're writing about in the book. It's starkly different, isn't it?
It is. And you know, where I grew up, Rob, on Bolivar Avenue in St. Francis, I was minutes from a couple playgrounds, 10 minutes from railroad tracks, 15 minutes from a park that we could walk to, 10 minutes from a swamp that was next to a grocery store. We call it the A&P swamp because it was next to an A&P grocery store. when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, I mean, what more could you want, right, than to have a swamp, a park, playgrounds? We just had a blast. I mean, we were out of our house in summer from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m.
I marvel because I spent part of my childhood in Merrill, Wisconsin, up north of Wausau, and then the rest in Wisconsin Rapids. And, you know, until I got a car in high school, pretty much walked to school every day of my life. And like you, never without threat, never without, wondering, you know, who was going to, you know, heckle me, harass me, or, you know, endanger me. And it's just a different world. But some of the things that I'm sure you wrote about, you know, just being able to go from, you know, in our little, you know, neck of the woods, one side of town to the other on a Schwinn bike, you know, that was always, I can remember riding in the back of my dad's Schwinn, you know, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, let's go faster, come on. And then when I was a dad, you know, having to pedal the bike carrier, I mean, we evolved from, you know, those little seats on the back of a Schwinn now to a whole, you can take the whole family in these little carriers. Life has changed a lot since you and I were little.
Absolutely, Robin. In fact, one of the chapters I wrote about, had this thing where I just wanted a motorcycle so bad when I was a kid. And my dad, when I was 13, actually bought me a little Honda Rabbit, a 90cc scooter.
Wow.
Against my mom's very, very vociferous protests. and so one of the chapters is about the goofy things we did on this Honda with my buddies, you know, out in the fields and stuff. And I mean, I don't think you can get away with some of the stuff that we did back then. And I lived right next to the police station, and the police, I'm sure, you know, I never rode it past the police station at age 13. I would walk it down the alley, but you know, if they would have seen me, they just would have said, "Hey, kid, park the bike," you know. So, but we're in a different time now. But you know, we could do a lot of things back then that I don't think you can get away with today.
My college roommate was from St. Francis, and one of my great colleagues at the State Journal, Adam Mertz, was from St. Francis. I got indoctrinated, and maybe this is better for me to get indoctrinated in college than as a kid growing up, because there's more fun to be had. But man, from late night at George Webb's and all the fun you can have around the airport, I mean, what a great place to grow up, Gary.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Adam Mertz. He actually sent me a nice letter and ordered a book, and I hadn't talked to or seen or talked to Adam in a long time. But another fine St. Francis product who went on to have a really good journalism career.
Yep. So you again, you can go to our website at wisconsin.golf. Gary D'Amato's latest book, A Perfect Childhood, Growing Up in the 60s with Baseball, the Beatles, and Beaver Cleaver. How many of the Leave It to Beaver crew has I think one is one of the two main characters have left, and of course I'm sure the parents are long gone. So it does age us, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, Ken Osman, who played Eddie Haskell, just died a couple months ago. But I know Jerry Mathers and Tony Dow are still with us, and yeah, Barbara Billingsley, wasn't she? She was in Airplane too, wasn't she? I believe.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah, June Cleaver. Yeah. But yeah, fun times and fun TV. Very innocent era. The TV shows until the 70s really came along, and we had Laugh-In and some satirical shows that paved the way for a lot of TV we watch today. But before that, it was, you know, Dick Van Dyke Show, when you had, you know, Rob and Laura slept in separate beds, and it was just an age of innocence. It was fun stuff, the television back then too.
You got to walk to school, and yes, you got to go to school, which is not something we take for granted anymore. So read Gary's book. Again, you can go on our website and check it out. Gary, as we look ahead to this week, first of all, a great story by you posted today on Sam Anderson, a University of Wisconsin golfer who had hoped to start his season already, but has been playing in odd events, won one down south not too long ago. But he literally aired his dirty laundry to you. Want to tell us a little bit about Sam and his story?
Yeah, Sam, came to Wisconsin sort of as kind of an unheralded guy, but a guy with a lot of talent and potential. And, had a pretty good freshman year and maybe took a step backward as a sophomore, and had a meeting with Coach Michael Burson, in which the coach leveled with him and said, look, Sam, you've got all this talent, but you're going about things the wrong way. You've got to get more organized. You've got to learn how to prepare better for tournaments. You've got to organize things in your life and get rid of clutter that's not going to help you play golf. And, you know, Sam could have gone a number of directions. He could have gotten mad or defiant or, you know, gone defensive, but he took it to heart, made some changes in the way he approached practice and approached golf and approached everything else in his life. And I'll tell you what, the results have been pretty impressive. Rob, we know he had a great summer. He shot that 62 at the Oaks to set a course record in state am qualifying. Then he had a really good state am, and then he shot 67-67 to finish off the state open. It's carried into this fall. Unfortunately, Wisconsin can't play as a team because the Big Ten has canceled the schedule because of the coronavirus. But he's able, and the Wisconsin golfers are able to play in individual tournaments organized by the Golf Coaches Association. And Sam's won two of the three tournaments he's entered. It's pretty impressive. He's come a long way, and I think, there's probably some room to grow, and he's going to get better.
So we're not really sure. The hard part about writing about college golf going forward, Gary, is we're not going to know what to call these guys. On the roster, they call Sam a senior. He's played in 2 1/2 seasons. That half season, he gets back. So I'm pretty sure he's got 2 full years of eligibility left after assuming we get, a season next spring. It could be more. At some point, the question is, how much college do you want to be in to be able to play college golf? That ultimately becomes the question for these kids.
It does. And I think in Sam's case, it'll largely depend on how he's playing. He wants to play at the next level. And, if he thinks he's ready and Coach Burson thinks he's ready and he has the support around him, I could see him, taking the leap and trying to play professionally. But then again, he could stick around for that extra year or 2 years of eligibility too, and continue to get better. But, he's played very, very well for a pretty significant stretch here. So I don't expect that to end.
We all laughed when Daryl Bevel scored that touchdown in the Rose Bowl at like age 25. I mean, that's going to be the new norm in college athletics. All these people with graying hair, or receding hairlines. It's going to be something else. But Sam's a good kid. You're right. I mean, a kid who grew up in Stoughton, played his freshman year at Stoughton High School, and then went south to live with grandparents. It's been interesting, Gary, because in my conversations with the you know, with the kids at the state high school tournament, you know, a lot of them don't know what to do. And, you know, we had Grace Suter, I'll be writing about this when we do our rankings again, because she essentially a girl out of Oconomowoc. Her dad, Vince, great sponsor of a lot of the tournaments with the Wisconsin PGA. She's now at the IMG Academy for a second year. And I tell you what, after one semester, she graduated early at Oconomowoc last December, and then went right down to IMG, and night and day difference, is getting better. You know, Sam went south. I don't think his program was quite as structured, but it certainly produced the same results. And then talking to Jessica Geiser, the freshman out of Arrowhead, who really loves playing high school golf and intends to keep playing it through for her 4 years. But she's going to be in much the same situation Pearson Hunt was in, you know, where there's going to be opportunities to do other things to, you know, to maybe chase that bigger picture. Now she's doing IMG, but only during various breaks, winter break, summer breaks, and school, and getting her fix on instruction at a high level that way. It really is a different era. Going back to your book, Gary, I don't think anybody that we hung around with in elementary school ever went on to an IMG-like academy, did they?
I don't even know many guys who went on to play college golf in our era, Rob. I mean, there weren't as many college programs, and if right. there were, we certainly didn't know about them.
Well, I tell you what, a great story on Sam Anderson, and well worth your read here on Wisconsin.golf. The other stuff going on, Gary, is stuff that, you know, normally at this time of year, I'd be telling you who's coming out by me for the various Q schools. We would have had at least the first stage, and then certainly coming up the second stage is normally early November over at Bear Creek. That's not happening for the Corn Ferry Tour. The Charles Schwab Cup normally would be in the height of their postseason a year ago about this time. They were at Invesco QQQ out in Thousand Oaks at Sherwood Country Club. Instead, that tournament wasn't even going to be played there this year. And instead now, all of a sudden at the 11th hour, the Zozo Championship got moved there because they can play it there safely. Sherwood Country Club will have a tournament and with the big names, including Tiger Woods. So it's a different autumn for us covering golf and in both in Wisconsin and around the country. And I hate to bring this up, and I don't mean to end the podcast on a downer, but our friend Gary D'Amato, we got to rip the Band-Aid off, Gary. We got to tell our listeners. Our friend Gary D'Amato found out this week that it is indeed the end of an era. Gary, who's covered the Masters for us the last couple of years after many, many years at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel doing so, is not being allowed a credential. Who do we have to write to, Gary? This is going to create a firestorm with our Talking Dot Golf audience. I can feel it brewing right now.
Believe me, Rob, I've already written those letters and they didn't do any good, unfortunately. I've covered every Masters since 93. Bernhard Langer was my first one. And Bernhard's won a bunch on the Champions Tour in the intervening years. But I'm kind of bummed out about it, Rob, but I understand the media contingent is going to be very small because of coronavirus. They're operating pretty much the same way the PGA Tour does, with very limited media presence. And I didn't make the cut, I'm a little sad about it, but they assure me that if hopefully when things get back to normal and we hopefully have a normal April Masters, that I'll be back there. So I'll only miss one is what I'm hoping.
Well, and boy, it's been interesting to see we talk about the evolution of golf here in this COVID 2020, quote unquote, covering the U.S. Open, you know, with some of the things that the USGA made available to us. When we found out that, you know, Austin and Alex Gaugert were caddying there, and Austin's guy, Alex Noren, gets in the hunt going into Sunday. Yeah, you know, we were able to. I was literally able to type in a question in a Cisco WebEx, and 2 minutes later, I hear someone reading the question to Alex Noren. I know from moving out here and covering golf back in Wisconsin, Gary, the world's a lot smaller than it once was, but boy, it really got small here with the way that we're able to communicate and still cover golf, even despite the challenges that keep us from doing it the way we've grown up doing it.
Yeah, you know, I almost feel like, and I'm going to attempt to cover the Masters that way, Rob, through Zoom, through whatever the Masters, Augusta National sets up as far as, you know, access to players and access to transcripts and interviews and all that stuff. So we'll see what happens. But I almost kind of, I guess I'm a dinosaur, Rob. I kind of feel like I'm cheating when I cover a golf tournament that way. But that's the way it has to be done right now. So that's the way we're going to do it.
Yeah, I can remember so much of our career, you know, we'd kind of, you know, cast the stink eye at people who, you know, would take a byline on an event that they weren't at. And even though they would do well, I'll give you an example. Last week at the state golf tournament, I was a friend of ours who you know really well, Peter Jackal from the Racine Journal Times, has done a wonderful, amazing job covering Racine for the Journal Times down there for decades. And yeah. And I had to chuckle, and it warmed my heart, to be honest with you. But I, as the Division II competition was wrapping up on Tuesday, I get in the cart to go back from the number 9 green is probably, a good 15 minutes walking away from the clubhouse. So I hopped on the cart with the 4 girls from the Prairie School, and they're looking over at their coach, Carrie Massey, who I've known for many years. And then Sophia Lawler, their number 1 golfer, who finished, she was in the lead for a whole bunch of the day on Tuesday. And one of them said, oh, they're talking to, they can't even wait till they get back to the clubhouse to talk to him. And someone said, who's that? Oh, they're talking to Peter Jackal. And one of them goes, that'll take a while. But it'll take a while because Peter does a great thorough job and wants to make sure he gets the best story possible. But, you know, when you work on a small staff, a lot of people have had to do this for years. And I've had to do it now being out here for the last 4 years. And, you know, we can do more covering from a central location. But you're right. It you know, I mean, we've been doing this combined. Well, let's not go there. But, I mean, we're trained to be there and not only tell the story about the result, but about what you're seeing around there. And nobody does that better, ladies and gentlemen, than my colleague here, Gary D'Amato. And that, I think, is the part that'll be missing, won't it? There's a lot you can see on TV, but there's a lot you can't see, especially at Augusta National.
Yeah, there's a lot you can't hear and there's a lot you can't feel. I think the feel of that place is what is so hard to capture. And if you can capture what it feels like to be there, you've really done something. But just to touch on Peter Jackal real quickly, Rob, I actually hired him when I was sports editor in Racine. I hired Peter Jackal, and it's one of the best things I've ever done in this business because he is a treasure in Racine. He has probably written 10,000 bylined articles. He's an institution, Racine. He really is.
Well, and I don't mean to turn this podcast into talking dot Peter Jackal, but the many years that I spent at the State Journal in Madison helping with the all-state football and basketball teams and the selection of those, now I tell the story with a great deal of pride about how Peter would come into those meetings stumping for all the Racine County kids, and then there was this one kid who never, ever made it to state finals, never made it to the state tournament in basketball, and he'd come in there, and he'd tell us that we got to put on the first team this kid named Tony Romo, and I'm going, Peter, if Tony Romo were worth his weight in gold, we'd see him at Camp Randall. Well, I think Peter Jackal got the last laugh on a lot of us about that one because Tony Romo speaks, you know, his name precedes him now. It's like Madonna. And Peter Jackal knew about Tony Romo long before the rest of the state. So I tip my cap to Peter for him always being loyal to your area down there, Gary.
Yeah, that's a good story, Rob. Yeah, Pete and Tony, I know, go back way back to when Tony was like a sophomore at Burlington High School. So, yeah, Pete unearthed a gem there. Tony was going to be a gem no matter what, but Pete was the first guy to write about him.
Well, before the rest of the world continues to spin without us here, Gary, let's put a wrap on this Talking Dot Golf. We'll see what challenges and what things we can cover the sport again next week on Talking Dot Golf. How does that sound?
That sounds great, Rob. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking Dot Golf, sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate after graduation. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are golf opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf. We'll talk golf again next week.